We're all awake? Yeah? Okay, then I'm gonna ask you to do me a favor. So I'm gonna take a picture one more time, but this time I wanna act like everyone's asleep. I think this will be great. Like when people ask me, how was it? I'll show them a picture of this and like, oh really? You couldn't even keep them awake? So yeah, so everyone pretend like you're asleep. 3, 2, 1. Thank you. I'll show it to my friends and they'll be like, what? So a couple quick announcements. Well, one, I want to say thank you for having me. I was thinking, like, I think this is the first youth retreat I've ever spoke at. It's the first total retreat. Usually, I've only done one retreat, and I only spoke one message, so, like, doing all three messages has been really cool for me, and you guys have been great, like, just tuned in and listening, and so I appreciate that. So did everyone get a Pez that wanted a Pez? Yeah? Okay, cool. So what I'm going to do is, I have the candy, all right? Here it is. I'm going to pass it around. Honor system, 2, please, only each, right? I think there's like 3 or 4 colors, but I'll just start, and you guys can, during the message, you can kind of pass it around. And again, just 2, okay? I don't want to get to the end and then... Okay, so you guys remember what we're talking about this weekend? The Beatitudes, right? That's great. And again, the Beatitudes, right, they show us how to honor God, that we're different, and that we're blessed, right? And we talked about 2 things our first session. The first session we talked about started with an H. Humility, very good. And yesterday night, the evening session, what did we talk about? Huh? Sad over our sin, right? We want to be sad over our sin. Now, there's a bunch of these Beatitudes, and it'd be great if we could go through them all, but this is not like a week-long retreat. This is a 2-day retreat, so... there's more. We're just not covering them. So I kind of had to pick and choose the ones that I wanted to cover this weekend. So we're going to come to our next one, and we're skipping a little ahead. It's Matthew 5:7, and it says this, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So those who show mercy will receive mercy from God. And the word for mercy here is kind of this idea of being like beneficial. Like charitable, right? It's kind of like this idea of like kindness and being generous to someone who needs it. And I think the thing to remember is that it's not just about feelings, right? We can see someone, we could feel bad about them for something that they don't have or for the position they're in. But the word mercy here has the idea of doing something about it, right? It's about an action. I might feel bad that someone doesn't have a lunch, but this type of mercy that we're talking about would be like, I'm going to share part of my lunch, or I'm going to give him or her money so that they can buy some lunch. And mercy that we're going to talk about today, there's two types. Mercy is, one, meeting the needs of others, and secondly, it's forgiveness, right? It's having mercy in forgiveness, having mercy in terms of meeting people's needs, right? And so your doodle for today, I was kind of thinking about how, like, when we were merciful, like, the idea of hands came to mind, right? Like, when we're providing a need or we're helping someone, it involves hands. I think forgiveness is just kind of like this, like, we're extending them forgiveness, we're giving them. So I kind of drew this. I know they kind of look like Mickey Mouse hands, and you can make your own hands. They could be long and bony hands like my fingers. They could be chubby little fingers like that. Whatever you want to do. But that's kind of the idea that I thought about for mercy. When we look at this picture, it's kind of like we're helping. We're extending forgiveness. We're giving. All right? So I'm curious to see some of your drawings. Because I like to see what people do creatively. Because you don't have to do this exactly. It doesn't have to be script. It could be just a regular straight up lettering, it could be different kinds of hands, whatever you want to do, but this is just to get you thinking you know, having kind of a visual picture of what mercy is. It's this giving. So kind of our first point that we're going to talk about today is about meeting the needs of people. Mercy is meeting the needs of people. When I was younger, my dad was out of work. So I wasn't too young. I want to say I was in my early 20s. And then my brother Kim, who's our preaching pastor, he was like in his early 20s. And then our other brother Jared was probably kind of in high school. And then our youngest brother was probably in middle school. So we're this kind of a range of us. We're all about, all together, we're about 8 years apart. But money was tight. My dad was out of work. And as we got closer to Christmas, my parents said that Christmas was going to have to be a little smaller this year, right? And I think at my age, I understood, right? Okay, you know, that's the way the world works. And, you know, I was okay with it. But it's still a little sad, you know. We're all old enough to understand, but still sad, right? That Christmas was going to be different. And my parents usually go all out for Christmas, right? Like, just a big meal and try to be generous with gifts and, you know, a Christmas tree and all that good stuff. But this year, it was going to look a little different. Less gifts. They said they weren't going to be able to do a Christmas tree, right? And so it was just like, oh, that's kind of a bummer. So we got to Christmas Day, and we were happy, and we were hanging out in our front room. And we got a visit from my pastor and his wife. And he bought a gift for each of us. And he also gave my mom and dad $2,500. So I don't know what that sounds like to you, like if that sounds like a lot of money or a little money, but back then, it was a lot of money. And back then, it was a lot of money for a pastor, because, you know, pastors don't make tons and tons of money. You know, hopefully we're generous to our pastors, and they do okay, but they're not, you know, they're not Bill Gates. They're not making tons of money. And so for him to give us $2,500, he's a young pastor, this was kind of a big deal. And he was showing mercy to us, right? And we needed it. I think literally, you know, my parents were going to use that for things that we needed, not just, you know, fun stuff, right? And it was interesting, the thing that I got was this shirt, right? So I almost feel like, I was talking to Shell, I feel like it's coming back in style. It's a little bit, yeah, it feels like it. But this shirt has been in my closet for probably 30 years. And the reason why I keep it is just a reminder, right, of God's mercy, of the mercy this pastor showed me. So I don't wear it. It's like, you know, other shirts come and go. Like, I wear it, I get rid of it once it wears out or I'm over it. But this shirt stays in my closet, and it's just a picture of this mercy that this pastor and his wife showed to me. There's a story in the Bible about mercy, and I wanted to kind of remind you of it, and I'm guessing you guys remember it, but let me read it again for you. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Right, I think a lot of you have heard this story of the Samaritan, right? And I think it's interesting, you know, we see these guys, the priest and the Levite. The Levite were these guys that were kind of in charge of kind of the tabernacle so they were kind of in charge of the kind of the holy things of God. The priest was a priest, right? So he's a guy that's about God. And these guys were supposed to be good guys, right? It'd be kind of like a couple of pastors, you know, like me and, you know, David Lee walking down the street and seeing someone in need and just kind of like, oh, I'm going to take the other sidewalk, right? And walking around them. Well, the Samaritan had compassion. But then his compassion turned into mercy, right? We talked about how it can't just stay a feeling, right? So he had compassion on the guy. He felt bad for the guy. But that feeling turned into an action. He had mercy on this guy. And his mercy was about helping this poor guy out, right? It said he was half dead. I mean, that means he got beat up pretty good. It's not like he's got a few bumps and bruises, but this guy could barely, he probably could barely move. And he took that guy somewhere to stay and to rest, and he paid for everything, right? And I think the thing that Jesus was really trying to show and illustrate in this story was, who should we love? Like, who are the people in our lives that we should love? The guy that was beaten in this story was a Jew. And the guy that showed compassion was a Samaritan. And these guys were enemies. Essentially, they did not like each other. And so that was what Jesus was saying. Our love, our mercy, isn't just for those who are easy to love, but those that are hard to love, those that we don't maybe even know, those that are even our enemies, right? Essentially, everyone. Everyone in your circle is someone that we can show mercy to. And I know, like, when we think of mercy, we're like, oh, maybe it's like people that are, they don't have money or they don't have food. And that could be part of it. But it could just be like a friend that it's lonely, right? Or someone that's lonely, right? And it could be being a friend to someone that, you know, just needs friendship, right? In various ways, right? It could be eating with someone that's sitting by themselves. It could be on the bus going home right now. You see someone by themselves, and it's like, hey, I'm going to sit with them and keep them company on the way back. You know, it could be caring for your siblings, right? I think where you guys are at right now, a lot of you likely have brothers and sisters. And so there's ways that we can show mercy to them. I was thinking about caring for younger siblings. I had younger siblings. I'm the oldest, so only had younger siblings. And, you know, like me, they're trying to figure things out, right? And I think younger siblings are people that we can try to show the way. We can be merciful to them. You know, like my younger brother, Josh, I taught him to whistle. Didn't know how to whistle. And that was like a little kindness that I showed him. Now, he was like 25 when I showed him how to whistle. So it wasn't like this little cute thing where I'm showing a little 5-year-old how to whistle. It was like this older man that I was showing how to whistle. But we want to show mercy, show kindness to people. And I think for our little siblings, this will show them that you care about them, that Jesus is someone that is real in your life and that you want to live for him. Right, so it's not just what you do for them, but it's the picture that you're painting for your little siblings. It could be caring for your older siblings. I think sometimes as a little sibling, you don't think, you're like, I'm the little guy or girl, and so I don't have anything to offer to my older siblings, but you do. I think about Piper, she serves her big sister a lot, you know, and that's kindness, and it shows mercy, you know, maybe your older sibling is studying for a final, right? Or they're going through a hard time. What could you do to show them love? What can you do to be merciful to them? But it can be also about giving to those that don't have enough, right? It could be people that are homeless. It could be, people. I'm sure you've driven down the streets of the South Bay and seen people that are on the streets, don't have a home, maybe going through a trash can, right? These are people that we can serve and help. Maybe it's someone close to you that needs something, right? Right? Like, you know, for me, I went to a church just like you guys, and I was, you know, friends with people, and these friends found out that we had needs, and they pitched in, and they were merciful to us. And so there's people in your life that maybe even like coming to a retreat like this, maybe someone was like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to go. My parents said we can't afford it. And then you find people. You gather your friends' parents, and you say, hey, can we all chip in so that this person can go to a retreat, right? It's about, you know, being merciful to people in your group, in your network, in the people that are around you. And you're young, and this may seem like a job for those that are older, right? Like, oh, you know, I don't have much to give. It may be true, but there's different ways of being merciful. And if you're a believer, you're Christian, if you're someone that has placed your faith in Jesus and he died for your sins, mercy should describe you. That's what you should be about. Remember, the Beatitudes are a picture of the Christian. So we need to be about mercy, about meeting the needs of people. So that's the first point. Mercy is about meeting needs, right? What's the first point about? Mercy is about meeting needs, yeah. Secondly, mercy is about forgiveness, right? When someone does something wrong to you, are you able to forgive them? And I think one of the greatest ways we can demonstrate mercy, so this doesn't cost us money, is by forgiving someone. It's one of the greatest ways we can show God's love and mercy is by forgiving someone. After all, one of the greatest ways God demonstrated his mercy to us was by forgiving us our sins, right? The Bible says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even, you know, we were so far from him because of our sin, he made us alive together in Christ. By grace you've been saved. So God showed us mercy, right? Like our sin is against God, right? We talked about that yesterday. And in his mercy, he's forgiven us. He is rich in mercy towards us. You know, my wife, I love her, but I am a sinner. And she'll be the first to tell you. And I've sinned and failed her often. But when she has forgiven me, it has given me such a sweet picture of God's forgiveness. Right? So when you forgive someone, right, they can get a picture of what it is to be forgiven by God. And that's a huge thing, right? Because people need forgiveness. That's what they need. They need their sins to be dealt with. And God can deal with them through forgiveness. And when you give them that picture, that's such a cool thing. Here in the Bible, it says this about the forgiveness of God. In Isaiah 43:5, it says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my sake, and I will not remember your sins. Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities. I will remember their sins no more. Hebrews 10:17 says, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Big thing to remember is God chooses not to remember our sins and hold them against us, right? They've been paid for. We have sinned more greatly against him than anyone has ever sinned against us, and yet he forgives us. There's another familiar story. I'm sure you've all heard it in the Bible, or a lot of you. In Matthew 18, verses 23-34, and it says this, therefore the kingdom of heaven, and this is kind of a story to illustrate this, may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, and since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of the pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him, and he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused and went and put him in prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. You guys remember this story, right? Kind of talk about how one guy was forgiven, and then the next guy comes along, and when he sees someone that owes him something, he doesn't forgive him. Well, this servant owed the king 10,000 talents, and the king forgave him that debt. But then that same guy went out to someone who owed him 100 denarii, which is less, and he got real mad at him, and he choked him, and he threw him in jail, right? According to one author, the one servant owed the other servant 12, what's equivalent, because you know, like when they talk about denarii and talents, we're like, what does that even mean, right? It could be a lot, it could be a little, I don't know, right? In this case, it says the money that the one servant owed to the other servant was about $12,000. Is that a lot to you guys? Feels like a lot, right? But you know what the equivalent that the one servant owed to the king was? What 10,000 talents was? It was about $6 billion, right? So like when you do the math, like, okay, this is what it translates into, $6 billion. If you owed $6 billion and you tried to pay it off even $1,000 a day, if you found a pretty good job and you said, I can pay you $1,000, king, every day, how long do you think it would take you to pay that debt off? $1,000 a day, and you're trying to get to $6 billion. A century? That's a pretty good guess. 40 years? It would take you 16,000 years to pay that off. It was basically saying this is unpayable debt, and that's what he forgave. And this is kind of our sin against God. It's too great to pay off. And that's why we need God's mercy, and his mercy came through Jesus who paid our debt on the cross. Again, I think we tend to forget how bad our sin is, and every sin is against a perfect and holy God. Every bad thought, every evil deed, every unkind word is a sin against God. And we sin so much in just a single day. Like I can look back at the end of my day and say, wow, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have thought that way, shouldn't have spoken those words. We have been shown so much mercy, and we need to show mercy, right? And mercy, as we talked about, comes in providing needs and forgiveness. Well, I wanted to talk to you about how you can practically forgive, right? So, like, sometimes we say, oh, forgiveness is just how I feel, right? But we're going to talk about what it is and the four promises of forgiveness. And that way, when someone says, hey, forgive me, like they've wronged you and you want to forgive them, and I know that can be hard sometimes. Sometimes people do some seriously wrong things to us. But this is the way that we can try to forgive them. The first is this. I promise that I will not dwell on this incident, right? So sometimes someone does something bad to us, and we just dwell on it, right? We sit there and we think about how someone has hurt us and how bad that person is or how angry we are or how we want or what we want to do to them, right, to get back at them. But when we forgive someone, our promise to them is that we're not going to dwell on it, right? We're not going to let it poison our thinking about them. Number two says this, I promise I will not bring up this incident again and use it against you, right? So sometimes after we say we have forgiven someone, we'll use it in and then they sin against us, we'll use it in a future argument, right? So say our brother says something mean to me, and I say, okay, I forgive you for saying something mean to me. And the next time he says something mean to me, I say, that's like the second time you said something mean to me, right? If you've forgiven them, we don't bring that up. You can address what they're doing now and say, hey, this is unkind to me, and talk about it and resolve that conflict, but we're not supposed to bring up things from the past. The third promise is, I will not talk to others about this. What's this kind of called? When we talk to others about something bad that someone's done. Yeah, it's gossip, right? And that's so dangerous, right? When it comes back to someone that you've been talking about them, and a lot of times we want people to be on our side. So, right? So say someone hurts my feelings, and you know, even though I've forgiven them, I go to someone and I'm like, hey, can you believe what so-and-so did? And I want them to be on my side, and I want them to take my argument and believe what I say and be on my team, right? But forgiveness means I don't want to make someone look bad because of their sin. The fourth promise is this. I will not let this incident stand between us or hinder our personal relationship. What that means is I'm going to still be a good friend to you, even after you've hurt me. And you don't distance yourself from them. You don't stop talking to them. You don't try to treat them as if they've sinned against you. You try to only show love. Now, is this easy? It totally is not sometimes, right? There's people that have hurt us in great ways, but this is what we can do to forgive someone. Again, this type of mercy is not just about feelings, right? It's an action. And that's why it's kind of cool that we can make these promises, because it's not just like, well, I feel really good about this person. You know, they hurt me, but I feel great about that person. And I just want to, but these are practical things that we can do to show mercy, right? Not to dwell on it, not to bring it up again, not to talk to others about it, not to let it stand between us. Those are things that we can do. Those are actions that we can have. Who is the greatest picture of mercy? This is the Sunday school answer. This is your big moment. Who is the great picture of mercy? Jesus. He was forgiving. He spent time with tax collectors and drunkards and other people during that time that were just considered to be the bad people, the sinners. And he not only spent time with them, but loved them and forgave them. He died to make their forgiveness possible. And for you and for me, he died that we could have forgiveness as well. He showed mercy to others by meeting their needs, right? He healed the sick. He fed the masses. And we're Christians, right? The first part of Christian is Christ. We're like little Christ. We're trying to be like Christ. And so if we're trying to be like Christ, we need to be merciful like he was. So now it comes to that point. The first day, we kind of try to live out what we're talking about. What do? We wrote cards, right, to our parents. We try to humbly write something humble to our parents, right? Second day, do you remember what we did? We wrote something in our journal. Yeah, exactly. We wrote something in our journal. They were our sins, right? And about how God has forgiven them, right? Well, today we're gonna try to extend mercy. And this kind of seems like a tough thing to do, but what we're actually gonna do, and I'm gonna get my helper. This is where Shiloh's gonna help me. What's a better wall for you guys to see at? That wall or this wall? This wall? Okay. We'll make it this wall, and if you guys want to move, you're welcome to. So. We're going to put up a paper. So what I did is I talked to the other elders, and I said, I want to do this thing where we give these kids a chance to be merciful. So I said, I want to see if we can use money from the church to be merciful to others, okay? Our church, when people give offering, do you guys know where that money goes to? It goes to different things, right? It goes to paying for our pastors. It goes for paying for our building, right, and keeping the lights on and electricity. It goes to a lot of different things. But something that our church loves to do is to give to people that are in need. So some of that money that you give doesn't even go back to us. It goes to those that are in need. So what we're going to do is we're going to spend some of that mercy money, that money that our church has set aside to give to others, all right? So the elders, we talked about it, and we decided we're going to let you, the junior hires right here, right now, decide how we're going to spend $5,000, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to put up on this sheet some different things that we can do to spend. So like if you have a friend that really needs a Nintendo, that's probably not the mercy we're going to spend that money on, right? But I'm going to give you some options of people that we have supported in the past, things that we have done. We can give to all of them a little bit. We can give to one of them all of it. And if there's something else that you guys have thought, maybe even the leaders here, if there's a ministry that you're aware of that I'm not, we can think about that as well. So I'm going to give you a few here, and I'm going to tell you what they do, and that way you can kind of, think about, wait, give me one second here because my thing is a little bit off. Sorry, give me one second. All right. Well, here's the thing. Some reason it didn't save on mine, but I think I can remember most of them. Okay, so one of them was Johnny and Friends. Have you ever heard of Johnny and Friends? Yeah, you've heard of it? Yeah. Oh, you went, right? Yeah. So Johnny and Friends is a ministry, you can put Johnny and Friends up there, that serves people with special needs. And they serve them in different ways. I think they provide things that they need at times, but they also provide like camps like this for people with special needs where their whole families can go up and do special, just have a great time, you know, learn about God, just like you guys are, learn about God, have fun, go swimming, do all these different things. But they do it for families with special needs. And I think that's a really cool ministry. So that's one option, right? Another option is Children's Hunger Fund. Has anyone heard of Children's Hunger Fund? Yeah. So Children's Hunger Fund does just that. They help families that are in need. But I think what's cool is on their website, they talk about how they bring like food, like literally help them with food, but they also bring the gospel. So what they do is a lot of times they'll bring food to different areas where they don't have a lot of food. And with that food, they give it to the churches in that area. So it's not just like they hand it out and, okay, we're out. They hand it to the churches, and the churches can go out and say, here's food, here's the gospel, come to church. You know, like they can just really bless those people and invite them into the local church. So I think that's a really cool one. Next one is Foster the City. Who knows about Foster City? I know someone knows about Foster City because their mom works for Foster City. All right? You know what Foster the City is about fostering. It's about helping churches foster kids. It's helping churches provide loving homes for kids in the foster system. And these foster kids are kids that are kind of temporarily taken out of their homes, and sometimes permanently in the end, but they're kids that don't have homes at that time. So these are what Foster City does is they come to churches and they say, hey, do you guys want to care for kids? And so there's people in our church that are doing that right now, and I think that's an amazing and a great ministry. Let me think. There's another ministry, and we just started to connect with them. A handful of, I think, five or six of our members went maybe a couple weeks ago, and they went to Uganda, and they went to a ministry called SOS. And what SOS is they're really about bringing God's truth to that part of Africa. And so they're really about that. So they're you could put SOS. And SOS stands for Sufficiency of Scripture. And they're trying to bring Scripture to that part. But they do it in a lot of different ways, right? And what they're doing right now is they're trying to do it through medical needs. So we send out kind of a medical team to kind of like research, like, how can we be a part of this? So we send out a doctor, and I think we send out a dentist, and we send out a nurse, and maybe PT, you know, and we send out a team to say, how can we serve in that area? So that's a cool ministry. It's in a totally different part of the world than we're used to. There's another organization called Crossway. And Crossway, they're basically like, they're like book printers and Bible printers. And we've partnered with them before. One of the things that they have going on is they're trying to give 1 million Bibles to people across the world, right? And really, to people that need it, right? So there are people like us that maybe can, you know, afford and purchase one, but there's so many that don't and would want one. So they are providing Bibles across the world. Their goal is 1 million to give away. And they've done a lot. I want to say they're 600,000 or 700,000 they've given away. But I was like, well, for 5,000. So what it is for $40, you can buy 10 Bibles. Right, so it's like $4 a Bible. So for $5,000, literally this group, we could buy 1,250 Bibles to give to people that need Bibles, right? And that's a pretty powerful thing. So those are the ones. I'm trying to think if there's any other one. One last one that I can remember. There's a group called LABTS. Has anyone heard of that one? That one might be a little, yeah? Oh, okay, yeah. So Pastor Keith knows about it. One of the former professors at the seminary that Pastor Keith is just about to graduate from. He was a professor there, and now he's the president of a school that's in the inner city in places where they don't have a lot, but he helps teach and train up leaders. So I think like pastors and deacons and leaders within the church by giving them classes, kind of like seminary classes, but for people that maybe couldn't afford to go and just pay a lot of money and spend a lot of time in seminary, he's helping to provide that. But it's really cool because it's a nonprofit and they're helping pastors. So like if you're helping them, you're not just helping that person, but you're helping them help others, right? You're helping them spread the gospel to other people. So those are the ones that I had. I don't know if, does anyone else have things like that they've heard about that they would be interested in giving to? Again, it could be a leader, it could be a student, maybe you've heard of a ministry through something on campus or anything like that. Those are some options. No? And that's okay. But these are some options. So if we want to, do we want to make these our options? Yeah, let's do that. All right, so there's different ways we can do this. We can just give an equal amount to everyone. If there's one that some of you that like really have a heart for, we can give more to that. We can divide it all, but give some more to some or less to others. There's just different ways. We could say, I want to provide 200 Bibles, and then that'll leave us with so much money, we can give to other things, right? So any thoughts how we could spend it? Who would say we give all to one? Let's see a show of hands. We have a couple people. That's fine. We have maybe six. Let's say let's give it all 5,000 to one organization. Okay, who says we should spread it up? Okay, so I think we're splitting it up. All right. You think we should spread it up to all of them, or are there ones in particular that you like? What do you think? Not as much. So that's good. Yeah, so right, I mean, that's an option, right? Instead of, we split it up, but instead of giving it to all, what do we have here? Six groups, we give it to like two or three. And then it ends up being a little bit more. Huh? Yeah, so Children's Hunger Front is kind of like Feed My Starving Children. Remember the one where we do food packing? They do that as well. And you can even go to their organization, which is in the Valley, which is, I know, means probably nothing to you guys, but it's like 40 minutes from our church, and you can actually go there and help pack at their facility. So that's a great, and we partner with them, but it is very much like a Feed My Starving Children, where it's food and like the gospel. All right, so who thinks we should do maybe three of these groups? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we're not doing six, I guess, right? So maybe the option is two or three. What do you think? Yeah? Two groups? Three groups? All right, who says two groups? Two groups. Okay, who says three groups? All right, let's do that. All right, let's do three groups. Out of these three groups, is there one that kind of like, wow, that's really cool, I want to do that? Huh? Foster City. So Shai wants to do Foster Seed. Shai's family is fostering. And they're part, so that's something close to our heart. So that's a good one. Does anyone else like that idea? Yeah? All right. I think that's going to be a winner. So let's put a star by that one. Is there any other ones that kind of stick out to you? Yeah. LABTS. So LABTS, what do you think about that one? So I think the one thing that's cool about that is there are people in need. There are people that are going to take it back to other churches. And then it's not just affecting like those handful of people that get to go, but it's affecting churches. A lot of people, essentially. So, I mean, that's an option. You guys want to do that one? Yeah? Seeing some thumbs up? All right. So we have one more. Boston City, LABTS. Any other ones that you guys? Johnny and Friends? All right. So Mitchell's dead to Johnny and Friends, right? He's kind of experienced that ministry. So he's seen like, oh, this is cool. Like, we go there and basically, like, all the kind of, quote unquote, like, cabin leaders come and they volunteer. And last year, we sent a bunch of people from Lighthouse. They go to this camp and they just help these families have a fun time. And then then they have times like this where they're learning and singing. But I think that's a great one. And I think because we have, our church has a heart for special needs, that'd be cool. What do you think about that? All right, cool. Okay, so we have three. We have 5,000. Do we want to like split it evenly? As close to even as possible? Even? Not even. All right, let's go with even. What was it? 1,000, what was it? $1,666 and 66 cents, right? Yeah, we'll do that. All right, so we're going to give, $1,666.67 is what we're going to do. How's that sound? That's pretty awesome. So when we get back, and I'll have May remind me, we'll talk to the elders and we'll get checks cut to these organizations, okay? And we'll tell them this is on behalf of the junior hires at the middle schoolers at Lighthouse Community Church. Cool? All right. Let me just wrap it up real quick here. So just to close things up, you know, I designed the shirt. Shiloh's wearing it right there. And it's got like a bunch of koi, which is kind of cool and pretty, right? But the idea behind the shirt is kind of like, those are really cool and pretty, and I think that's what everyone shoots for. But we're actually that little fish. We're that little stick figure fish at the bottom of the shirt, right? And I think that fish kind of describes us, or should describe us. We're kind of this, I mean, it is a Christian fish, right? That's what kind of people know as the Christian fish. Back in ancient times, I think this is the story, is when people wanted to say, hey, I'm a Christian, they would kind of do a, kind of a half circle in the line, and if someone else knew what that was and they were Christian, they would draw the other half circle and they would show that it was a fish. And so they would know that they're Christian. And so it's kind of known as Christian, but it's a humble fish, right? The other ones are kind of like big and beautiful and out there. But I think we are called to be simply just these humble, loving people, but we have a greater purpose. So even though these other fish are super showy and super cool looking, we have a greater purpose than them, and that's to glorify God. And when we live like this, when the Beatitudes are real and true in our lives, we become such a witness for God. And I think that's something that we all should want. So you know, from the world's point of view, being a Christian is kind of weird. Right? If you think about, okay, hey, you want to be a Christian? We're humble. Okay, that doesn't sound fun. We own our sin. We try to be sad over our sin. Yeah, I don't really want to do that, right? It's just different. Doing things for others, forgiving others maybe that seemingly don't deserve forgiveness. But I think what it does is it's so different and so beautiful that it will cause people to think and to wonder, right? And that could lead to conversations. It could lead to inviting people. Like, people can say, man, this person, there's something different about them, right? They may not use the term mercy, but they're like so nice to this person. They're so kind to this other person. Or they forgave this person, even though this person hurt them so much. And when we live that out, I think it's an opportunity for conversations, for inviting people to church. Who knows, right? And that's how we get to kind of be a light for God in this world. So I'm excited because you're young and these are big things and things that you're growing into, but it'll be cool to see what God does in and through you if you guys live out the Beatitudes. All right, let's pray. God, we thank you for this weekend and this chance to think about what it is to just to be humble and to be sad over our sin and to be merciful, to be a forgiving people, to be a kind and generous people. And so, Lord, would you, you know, first, Lord, if there are those in this room that don't know you, that don't have a relationship, Lord, would you touch their heart? Would you help them to see that apart from your forgiveness, they can't be in a relationship with you? And so would you touch them? Would you help them at least to spur on a curiosity in terms of who you are and what you did and how great a God you are? And Lord, for those that are believers, those that are following Christ, would you help them to see that we're not just a little bit different, Lord. We are so different, and different in all the good ways, in all the best ways, and in ways that cause us to be loving towards you and towards others, and in ways that we can be called blessed. And so would you use these young hearts, and would you allow them to be so just beautiful for you that others would want to know who you are. We thank you, God. In your son's name we pray. Amen.